It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this fifth day of August 2025. And tonight, Pastor's Mighty Men on the board. Our producer is none other than Wild Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor. How are you?
Oh, and joining us tonight is none other than the Elder Barkley.
Good evening, Cole. Pastor. Good evening, everyone. Jesus is
good
Lord.
Evening. Amen. We have a lot to talk about tonight, so why don't we get right into it? And, of course, the title of the message this week, and where we're going to pick it up where we left off, was the cities habited of sinners, habited by sinners. Yet one city without sin or sinners, just one city ever existed without a sin or a sinner. And we're going to finish off with that one, but we're going to start tonight in Genesis chapter 19, but actually I'm going to jump back to chapter 18 and start with verse 19 and read. So, Randy, would you read verses 19 from Genesis 18, verses 19 through 23?
Okay. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come up unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from them and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?
Okay, so here are a couple things. Going back to verse 19, he says, for I know him that he will come and he will command his children. I'm having a little problems here yet tonight with my eyesight yet, folks, but he will command his children and his household after him. Now, this is the very first time in Scripture where it's mentioned about commanding and a father, that it was a father's responsibility to train up his children. This is the first time that's mentioned there. And he goes on to say, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grievous. Here, again, you know, we're talking, see, that same sin is what is today, you know, what they call LGBTQ. And that's the very sin that's so grievous is celebrated by those on the left. Biden flew the sodomite, and Obama flew the sodomite flag over the White House. And here the Democrats want to do that in a state house there in Columbus. The sodomite flag. This is the LGBTQ of that day. These people there in Sodom were the Democrats of that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you think that dawns on people? I mean, do you think it ever, you know, to those on the left and not, you know, that it ever kind of sinks in at all to them? Do you know what they teach that the sin of Sodom was? They teach that inhospitality, that their sin was not the sin of sodomy, but of inhospitality. This is what those on the left teach, the liberation theology people.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, you asked, you know, do they really know? Pastor, I believe that many of them, according to Romans, they have been given over to a reprobate mind. I know that God is full of mercy, and there are those that will, of course, repent. But for many of them, that mindset, it is just gone. They just really don't know God. They don't know God. I mean, they could say the name, but they don't know the character of God. And like I say, for many of them, I believe their minds are already turned over.
And then he says this. Yeah, you're right. And he said, and I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know it. Well, I mean, he didn't have to go down, did he? He sent down. The angels went down, the two angels. But God already knew, didn't he?
Yeah, he definitely already knew. He knew.
He was saying that the cry was coming up to them of their sin already. Mm-hmm. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and told and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? And that's an interesting verse there, because here is where Abraham goes into that whole litany of you know, you had a million people. They say they estimated that it was about a million people in the city of Sodom. And so here he's saying, can we find in there, he starts out with 50.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find 50, and it gets all the way down to 10. And God said, all right, 10. Did God know? God is a just God and holy God, right?
He is, and I believe that's one of the reasons why he does it. He doesn't have to do it because he's God. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. But so that man will never be able to say that I was judged unfairly. God dots all of the I's. He crosses all of the T's. He'll go through all of this. And, you know, when mankind stands before him on that judgment day, those that have rejected Christ, they're not going to have any excuse. And, you know, this particular verse here, verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? You know, Pastor, this is when you study this out, it also gives way, and I don't want to get off track, but it also gives way to those that try to say, well, the saints will have to go through the great tribulation. They're going to have to suffer the wrath of God. And it's, you know, this is clearly showing the character of God, the essence and character of God, and how he works with his people. He's not going to destroy the righteous. And even as he protected Israel when he sent all of the plagues on Pharaoh in Egypt, you know, he still protected his people. And so for people to say that we have to suffer the wrath of God when we've already accepted Christ, this to me, this just, you know, flies in the face of that.
Well, you see what he did here, and you're going to see this. He took the only righteous man there. He took out. There was only one, and God knew it from the beginning. And he took the only righteous man there out. Now, he gave an opportunity for his son-in-laws, not on their righteousness, but because of the righteousness. Actually, Abraham, Lot, actually got, you know, he was favored because of Abraham, okay? And so here, he was willing to spare his son-in-laws, but do you think God already knew what the result was going to be with them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, he knows, but he gives us that free will choice.
Let's go over to chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of the Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. What do you think the significance of that fact is, where it says, and Lot sat in the gate? Go ahead.
Yeah, I vaguely remember how. I don't quite know how to put it.
Well, the gate of the city is where all of the legal transactions took place, where all the public proclamations took place, where all the business was taking place in general. You know, and so when it said that he sat in the gate, that means that Lot was like the mayor. He was someone of he was a leader, and he held an important position there. And so here, when he saw these two angels, now do you think Lot might have suspected that these two were angels?
Oh, I'm certain that he discerned something, because he, even as we go further down in this, when he offered up his virgin daughters and wanted to protect them. And of course, I know they had a custom in that time as well to protect your guests, but still, he had to discern that these men were different, I'm sure.
Well, okay, you know, that Lot was in communications with his uncle Abraham. And here,
right,
God had just had that talk with Abraham. And so now, you think maybe Abraham might have sent somebody over. You better go over there and tell Lot to be ready for these men, because they're not men. Okay, they're angels. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly that they turn into him and enter into his house. And he made them a feast, and they did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, what was the custom of the East in that time? I mean, the custom was that when strangers came, you had to show them hospitality, because if you did not show them hospitality, then that would bring dishonor into your house, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so, so that was the custom, but there was more to it. But before they lay down, now listen to this verse, because there's a lot in this verse right here.
Mm-hmm.
Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house both around about, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. He's telling you that all of the men of the city, all of the men of the city were Sodomites.
Yeah, both young and old.
Right. And so they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They went into LGBTQ, these two angels.
Right.
And Lot went out at the door. Now, you see, remember, today in America, now you saw how God dealt with Sodom, right? And so here there's some, there seems to be a mindset today amongst people that God doesn't do things like that anymore. And just think of this today. LGBTQ, the men of Sodom of that day. Today, NBC, ABC, CBS, PMS, NBC, all of them, all of the far left establishment embrace the sin of sodomy. They embrace the sin of sodomy. And, I mean, that's a part, that's in their plank of the Democratic Party. And so, and Lot went out into the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And so, pardon?
No, I was just agreeing with you. I said, uh-huh.
Yeah. So, again, here, obviously, you know, Lot was telling them, you know, this is wrong. Do not so wickedly. And behold, now I have two daughters, which now have not known men. Now, Lot had more than two daughters. He had several daughters, and some of them were married. But these two were virgins. And here, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good unto your eyes, only unto them, unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. In other words, that would have been a huge dishonor to Lot. But, you know, I mean, I can't possibly imagine. Now, I mean, Lot might have done, let's see if we can give him some kind of slack here, okay? First of all, he might have thought, well, these guys are sodomites, so they're not going to have any interest in my daughters. Well, that really wouldn't wash because, you know, he already had daughters that were married, and the scripture said all the men there. And again, Lot might have known these guys were angels, and he thought they certainly wouldn't let him harm the daughters, but then that wouldn't wash because if he'd have known that, he would have just said, well, the men are in here, you know, go for it, because he would have known what the angels would, how the angels would handle that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. But now, the girls, in that day, in that custom, first of all, often men had many wives, and they had a lot of daughters, and the main thing with, you know, they weren't valued as highly as a son. Sons were valued more highly, especially like, and that's even the case today, even like in China, in places in India, where because of, for a couple reasons, work that had to be done, the sons were better. The sons didn't take as much care in that as the daughters, but especially where it came to protecting the land and the family and so on and so forth. So I can't imagine, I'm going to tell you, you know, to come to my daughters, they'd have to go through me, okay?
Right.
You know, I'd fight to the last drop of blood, right?
Right.
And that's the way, you know, the Christians are, real Christian men. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one fellow, he came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge now. We will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and they came near to break the door. Now, here, so they're saying, here, you know, here's this guy. He comes in, all of a sudden, he comes to our city here, and all of a sudden, he's a boss. And he's telling us what to do, and so we're gonna deal with him worse than we're gonna deal with these other two, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house and to them, and shut the door. Now listen to this next verse here, because this shows you just how reprobate, okay, sodomites can be. You've seen the sodomites in the sodomite parade. You know, in Columbus, mm-hmm. When they would have in Ohio any sodomite parades, they would come out stark naked. And in San Francisco, with Nancy Pelosi standing one foot away, we had people there. One of the men, he filmed that. She stood, Nancy Pelosi, 1 foot away from two sodomites that were sodomizing each other. They were sodomizing 1 foot away from her. And do you know what her response was on camera? Her response was, Jesus must be very happy with the way that you show love one towards the other.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
that shows you what a reprobate old woman she is. I mean, that woman is totally reprobate. And so here, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the door. In other words, what would you do if all of a sudden, Randy and Style, if all of a sudden you were struck with blindness, let's just say right now where you're at, okay, mm-hmm. You get struck with blindness. What would be the normal and the smart reaction to that?
I'd want to cry out to God.
Well, you'd want to cry out to God, but you wouldn't jump up and try to go outside, would you?
No.
No? Style, what would you do?
I had to think about how the rest of the show is probably going to be on trouble staying on air.
Yeah, okay. But the last thing you would do, you would probably one not move. You would stay where you're at because now you can't see anything, right?
Right.
And then you would think of how you're going to contact to get some help to you, okay? Not these sodomites. These sodomites were blind, and they were so reprobate, they were still trying to find the angels. They were still in their blindness trying to find the angels.
Yeah. I know that the text doesn't say it, but, you know, this is also during the evening, and I'm pretty sure that they were pretty well inebriated, had probably gotten drunken as well, you know, when they came out. But, that is something to be struck with, that blindness. And then, I mean, you can't see nor sense that the judgment of God is happening, not going to happen. It's happening to you right now. And yet you still go on in your defiance and in your sin. That's a scary thing.
Absolutely. We're going to stop right here and be back right after this.
Trump's biggest problem is not the Democratic Party. They have record low poll numbers, record low money raising. Their election fraud's getting exposed everywhere. Their gerrymandering is being overwritten with the redistricting of key battleground states. Everything Trump's doing, I've looked at. It's exactly what I would do, what the economists and experts I talked to would do. I mean, he's doing an excellent job on the stuff that he's doing an excellent job on. His problem is Mike Johnson. And people like Lindsey Graham that tell him whatever he wants to his face and then stab him in the back. So contrary to what the media said 2 weeks ago, Trump wanted them to stay in session and approve his nominees to the ambassadorships and the agencies and everything. Thousands of them. They're held up. Hundreds of key ones. And they lied and said, he wants them out of session so the Epstein stuff won't be looked at. And then, of course, Republicans passed subpoenaing the DOJ. Wasn't true. Because they want to try to put heat on Trump, they think. But now all the Democrats actually don't want the information. But that's another issue coming up. His big issue is John Thune, the Republican leader of the Senate. And when I talked about this a couple weeks ago, people didn't believe it. They said John Thune is going to not take it out of session so Trump gets recess appointments for a year at least. And they'll get approved in that year for sure, almost all of them. He said either recess or stay in session. They did the other thing. They're staying in session, but every 4 to 5 days, they're having a vote saying they're in session, with just a quorum call of a few senators while everybody else is gone. And that way, they don't go out of session, and they're not really in session, but they're technically in session, so Trump doesn't get what he wants. That is swamp sabotage, because while this is going on, all the people that Biden put in, many of them were just put in again after Obama first put them in. Hell, some have been there since Bush W. Now, that's where the real swamp is. So you want Trump to get rid of all these people and do all this, and then the ones they're able to spotlight, they fire. Then federal judges try to put them back in. Then Trump's got to go do a court battle. He wins every time. But they're sabotaging. It's like, running a truck into the mud up to the axles. So why isn't Trump flamethrowing John Thune? Why? Lindsey Graham, tell Trump to go to hell. Trump endorses him again for the Senate. GOP Senator John Thune quietly blocks Trump's recess appointments with sneaky procedural maneuver, launches series of pro forma sessions to keep Senate in fake session during August recess. They've already got the dates set where they're going to have the votes. Tuesday, August 5th, Friday, August 8th, all at 1 p.m., Tuesday, August 12th, 8 a.m., Friday, August 15th, 10:15 a.m., August 19th, 10 a.m., Friday, August 22nd, 9 a.m., Tuesday, August 26th, 12 p.m., Friday, August 28th, 7 a.m. They even got it scheduled for the few senators that will be there to do that. So this is really evil. It goes against the will of the voters and a popular president. And Trump needs to be threatening to primary Thune. But instead, Thune and them know if they said that he won't go after them. So that's not $5 trillion D chess, folks. That's not even checkers. And we know why. It's because of who he's got as a chief of staff, who's worked for all these people. And they're not screwing Trump as bad as they did in his first admin, but it's definitely going in that direction. And it's really bad. So I say to the listeners, everybody else, let's get talk radio talking about it. Let's get everybody, Bannon's already talking about it. We need to get everybody on this, okay? Because the Democrats are destroying themselves and eating their own right now. And if Trump can just move on his agenda, they will be defeated. And we'll have the ball for decades. But the deep state Republicans, establishment of the Democrats, want to slow all this down, wait Trump out, and have business as usual.
All righty, we're back. And, what he said is absolutely right there. This was Mike Pence's problems. The Republicans never really had the courage. There's always been a lack of backbone to go all the way. It's like they're afraid. It's almost like they're afraid to win. In these situations, everything he said is true. Unless they hear from us. And that's the only thing. Trump Trump taught the Republicans that they can win. Now, the whole reason we played this clip tonight is because they are playing these clips all over the country. We want Mr. Thune and the others to understand. You know, Trump needs, he needs the cooperation. He's managed to get a whole lot done. But it's almost like they're saying, we don't want to get too much done, right? And I remember when Trump, in his first term, when he started keeping his promises, you actually had two Republican senators were overheard saying, if he keeps keeping his promises, they're going to expect all of us to do that. Yeah, we kind of do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, Pastor. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm finished.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, we knew about John Thune when he was when he replaced, of course, Mitch McConnell, and this was a thing we knew back then. Man, this guy is, you know, there's something off about him. And, of course, he ran against Rick Scott and John Cornyn. But they, of course, they elected him. But we knew way back when he replaced Mitch McConnell that this guy was no good. And so we're really going to have to, you know, as you say, hold his feet to the fire, get the word out, and hopefully Trump will put the pressure on him and, if necessary, primary him, you know, because, yeah, we can't have that.
Well, you know, in his case, Thune was the lesser of the two evils. McConnell was a rhino to the bone. You know, right. he was owned by the establishment. You know, Thune fits mm-hmm. in that lukewarm area, you know, where he's, you know, they call him a moderate, you know. And that's an area that, you know, where you would put him. But see, it's like they've never, like the Republicans always were afraid to finish the job, always afraid to finish the job. And, you know, I mean, this is a horrible thing, what you have out there today. This, you know, this nation stands in the shadow of a holy and a just and a righteous God. And a holy and a just and a righteous God must punish sin in America.
Yeah.
You know, she has just sinned against her God over and over. And and so you remember, you know, Mike Pence could have had, all he had to do was the right thing. Remember, Trump said to him on January 6th, he said, Mike, do the right thing, Mike. Do the right thing, okay? Pence's job, okay, before he was to certify that election, right in front of him, right standing in front of him, was Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan, all of these people holding in their hands documentations about election fraud, standing there holding it in their hands, right? And Pence's job was to look at that, okay, and say, well, let me see what we have before I certify this. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. Yeah. He didn't have the courage because he was being pressured by the left. And he gave in to the pressure. And President Trump kind of knew he didn't trust Mike all the way. Mike kind of had that look in his eyes. You know, he had a reputation for caving when the pressure got high. Like, remember, he had said that he would not sign that sodomite marriage. They call it the same-sex marriage bill. He would not sign that. And what happened? They put pressure on him. He signed it.
Yeah, we're definitely living in a time where what Christ talked about, where brother would betray brother. It's just a time of betrayal. And even as, you know, Pastor, as you were we were reading through Genesis right there, one of the thoughts that came to mind is that, you know, as you look at Lot with just his wife and the two daughters that would finally escape out of there. And, of course, his wife being turned to a pillar of salt. You know, if you go back faster, the thing that caused Lot to go over there was because he had so many herdsmen and so many people that his people and Abraham's people, the herdsmen, there was strife between them. And so that's why they had to separate. And so when the angels asked them, what else do you have in the city? And as you said, all of the men began to come against them. That means that all of the people that went in there with them, they had to turn. I'm sure some died. Those same people that were with him had to be some of the same ones that turned on him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And so here, we're going to, I'm going to go to Wendy, Miss Wendy Wilson, you know, Wendy from Apothecary Herbs. She's got a sale going on, and I'm going to let folks know. Okay. She has the very best medicines, all natural herbal medicines. You know, that's the difference between what she's doing and, say, some of these others. A lot of the others, they have, like, health foods. But Wendy specializes in actual, true, real medicine, right from, as what God gives us, from the natural herbs. And anyhow, so she's got a sale. It's 20% off. On orders of, and this goes through from now until the 9th of August, and for, that's 20% off on all orders of $80 or more, and then for refills, 25% off on all refills from now through August 9th. So, folks, that's Miss Wendy Wilson, and she's got the all-natural herbs medicine, and you can call her at 866-229-3663. I know, listen, I've been using her medicine for years, okay? 866-229-3663. They're better than anything you can buy in the drugstores. And that number again is 866-229-3663, or go up on the internet to thepothecaryherbs.com. thepowerherbs.com. All right. Got that done. Now, you know, here with all of what you see, they're in Texas, you know. The governor said now he's going to fine those Democrats. They, you know, the Democrats ran away from home. And do you know where they ran to? They ran to Illinois.
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah. And with that Governor Pritzker there, this guy is such a hypocrite, such a hypocrite. You know, to us, mm-hmm. hypocrisy is something that, you know, we want to repel. We to us, you know, hypocrisy is wrong. It's evil. Okay. Jesus said, woe unto your hypocrites. It was something repulsive to us. To them, hypocrisy is literally something to be embraced. And I'll remember the day when Hillary Clinton came to Cleveland. She had a book signing, and she came right where across from where I was at, down there leading people against the bloody abortion mill. And so I kind of went in over there where she was at, and they had all these those on the left, and they sat around. They had these little tables and with chairs around them. So I kind of sat in there to take notes. I wanted to hear what they were saying. And they were talking, and they were boasting. You had a couple of these boasting how that they convinced people to do things that they would never do for themselves. Okay, they were boasting about hypocrisy. You know, and so. Here, this Pritzker, for example, talking about what's happening in Texas there, where they wanted the redistricting, talking about mm-hmm. gerrymandering. The Chicago is the gerrymandering capital of the United States. Chicago is. In Chicago, you have 14 Democratic representatives, 14, and only 3 Republicans. And that's because of gerrymandering. 14 Democratic districts and only 3 Republican districts. In California, again, now remember, they're saying that they're going to gerrymander now. Well, you idiots, that's all you've ever done. In California, they have 43 Democratic districts and only 9 Republican districts. And it's the same thing in New Jersey, Maryland, New York, and Massachusetts, too. And so, the Democrats have perfected the art of gerrymandering. And so it's amazing.
Well, we'll see where it goes, Pastor, because I see that Governor Abbott, I believe it is, he wrote a letter to the Cashman Hill, the FBI, for them to try and get involved and arrest them and make them come back, force them to come back.
We'll
see where it goes.
All of those that are in Texas that haven't left the state, he's sending us the Texas Rangers out to get them and bring them back. Now, he's also saying he's going to fine them $500 a day. But now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, this Presker has got a lot of money. He's got a lot of money at his... and the rumor is that he's paid all of these people, that he paid them to go to Illinois there. Now, if that's the case, then do you know what that meets? That meets federal bribery standards.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so he could be charged with bribing, and they could all be charged with taking bribes. And so we'll see how that works out, huh? Also, Paxton, their attorney general, Texas, he's saying that they believe that they have legal standing to where the governor now can dismiss these. If they refuse to do the job, he can dismiss them. Boy, that would be amazing if that could happen. That would send some shockwaves, wouldn't it?
Definitely.
So, alrighty. Now, they've got Pam Bondi has turned over, demanded that they turn over all of this evidence. Well, she's turned it over, okay, all of this evidence to the grand jury. Now, the grand juries are secret. You know, nobody's supposed to know who's on the grand jury. In other words, a grand jury, even in D.C., believe it or not, and that's the most corrupt judicial system in the world, okay, is supposed to be legitimate. I don't know how they pick them, but, you know, it would be hard for me to imagine even getting a grand jury in D.C., okay, a district of corruption. But anyhow, she's turned all the evidence over there, and guess who's already been subpoenaed?
Who was that?
Bill and Hillary.
I think I did see that.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to get into the article on that. Wow.
Yeah. Now, the list of they're the first of the list. And on that list, okay, you have got Mueller, you've got Holder, Sessions, these are all former attorney generals. And, of course, you've got Merrick Garland, James Comey, and Barr. Was it Bill Barr? All of them are going to be hauled in, too, subpoenaed to come and testify. This is all about the Russia hoax. But, boy, I'm going to tell you, a lot of this this Russia hoax, all of these same people, also many of them are involved in the Epstein, which on that list of the Epstein. Of course, Bill and Hillary probably topped the list.
Yeah. And I'm going to understand that, you know, Trump originally was going to try to, you know, kind of let Hillary off, but they just, they would not stop with coming after him. And this is like a do or die. You know, if they don't pursue them and go after them, you know, should the Democrats get back in power, which hopefully they won't, but, you know, they would really still come after them. So they have to do this, put the nail in the coffin.
Well, now, they're saying Obama, the idea is what they're going to do with Obama. And they said that he would never be convicted because, not because there's a statute of limits on treason. There is no statute of limits on treason. But they say that with Obama, they would play the race card. They would play the race card to the ultimate on that. The only black president, this is what they would do. But I remember those on the left media, they were referring to Slick Willie as the first black president. Do you remember that?
They
used to call him the first black president. And and do you know what that was tied to? His passion for black prostitutes.
Well, I was going to say he had the influence, and a lot of black people, you know, voted for him. I remember back then, that was when I was a Democrat. I voted for him. I think so.
No. Yeah. Well, I bet you regret that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Anyhow, other things happening around the world. Did you hear what they about that zoo in Denmark? Did you hear what they're doing in the zoos in Denmark?
I did not.
The zoos in Denmark are asking the people that have pets that they no longer want if they would bring the pets and let them be used for food for the tigers and lions. And if you had small dogs or cats or whatever that you no longer wanted, rabbits, hamsters, if you would bring them in. They actually said horses. They would take horses and larger animals, too, to bring them to feed the... that didn't go over too good with a lot of people. That wasn't... Of course, Denmark is you know, it's very far left.
Wow.
But I would be, I got a little dog at home, and I would be very offended.
Yeah.
And they would know without, in no uncertain terms, that I was offended if they would suggest something like that. No. I mean, I can, you know, that's something that, like, Democrats would do, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Here's one for you. Trump wants to put a nuclear reactor on the moon.
Yeah, now that one I heard.
Why do you think he would want to put a nuclear reactor on the moon?
Well, I know they what is it, the space force project that they have, but I don't know all of the reasoning behind it. I'm sure for some type of defense.
Well, it would have to be because, you know, nuclear reactors are supposed to be, you know, used for making power, you know, generating electrical power. Right. But, I mean, you'd have to run a really long cable, right, from the moon to be able to generate that power. I don't think you could send that electric power through the air, could you?
Well, with the technology that they have going on now, it's no telling.
All righty.
I don't know how they would do it. But.
Well, that's Style. He knows about things like that.
Well, my first thought is you'd have to create essentially a man-made river on the moon first, so that would be task number one. You have to have a naturally flowing water current for a nuclear reactor to operate properly for cooling.
You know, that would be... I know on the dark side of the moon is very cool. On the light side of the moon, it's not so cool. The temperatures are very, very, very quite a bit. But that would be something to consider, right?
Well, because it's not just keeping it cold. It's the uranium itself has to be submerged with cold. That's why we use water for it, so it can't just be in a cold environment. Then again, I don't know if we've ever had uranium just openly in space monitored, so...
Well, you know, things might be a little different in when there's no atmosphere, no oxygen in the atmosphere there, right?
Right.
Well, let's let them figure that one out, all right?
Deal.
Yeah.
We'll pass on that one for right now. Trump says that the FBI...
The other thing is which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more in the future, is that, you know, this alien, the coming alien deception, they are really moving forward with, you know, really trying to deceive the people in the distant future here, not so distant future here, with alien situation. So there's no telling what all they really want to put on the moon for, you know, nuclear, you know, rather be station or defense or whatever it is.
Well, we know that, you know, we have that. Should we play some of that AI clip? Do you have that AI clip style?
I don't have it at the ready, no.
No, you don't have it ready yet. I don't know if we could play a little bit of that, but I don't know. I'm got, you know, some hesitation in that clip. That, you know, we watched. It's a very interesting clip because you know, I'll tell you what. When you can, see if you can get that booted up, and we'll play it at some point. Okay. And anyhow.
Yeah.
I know we're coming up to. We'll play maybe a few minutes of it, and then discuss it, because, you know, all of this stuff that, you know, like AI has, that has to be, all that information has to be loaded in, and that's loaded in by people, right?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Now we understand. Now there's this what is it? Gork, is it called?
A grok.
A grok, rather, yeah. A grok, which is supposed to be computers programming computers. This is supposed to be totally apart from any human intervention on this. And I'm just wondering, you know, how that can be. In other words, they're claiming that these computers are teaching each other and they're gaining in knowledge.
Well, I can give you a little breakdown of how that works on the other side of the hour if you want.
Alrighty. You're a pretty smart kid.
I don't know about
that. Right.
Yeah. So
he graduated top of his class.
Yeah, I know. And I can remember the first computers. I remember that they were the size of refrigerators. And we're coming up to a break. I'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. We're in the count right now. 3, 2, 1. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
The North Carolina Department of Transportation is hosting a meeting 4 to 7 p.m. August 12th at Faulkner Elementary School, 3931 Naco Road, Greensboro, on its plan to improve passenger and freight rail operations along the Piedmont Corridor. Visit ncdot.gov.